Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 470. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. What is going on, good sir?
Nothing much. Just finished cooking dinner. I'm here on a Stunt Granny that surprisingly doesn't involve a bad Roman Reigns promo, so I guess, but it does involve Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I would have to say that you were talking about there not being that many stories coming out of this week, and I had to agree with that, that there was a lot of, hey, they didn't get a spot on the pay-per-view, so let's give them a match on Raw and or SmackDown.
More or less.
Yeah, so Roman Reigns was one of the few times that there was some noteworthy events going on, and that would be the, I don't know if you call it the reunion of the Shield, considering, as people correctly pointed out, that the Shield only broke up because Dean Ambrose injured himself.
Yeah, but I guess it was kind of like the reunion of the Shield, and actually kind of unexpected. And to be honest, it was a genius move on both ends, because I don't know how you would make Braun Strowman sympathetic, and now Braun Strowman, you know, considering he's one Braun Strowman, and two, he's walking around with the Money in the Bank briefcase. But now it's like Braun Strowman has sympathy, because people want to see him cash in and win the title, and especially now it's kind of like he has to beat three people to do it.
Yeah, it definitely adds a layer to the Yeah, because Braun Strowman's been damn near indestructible, and it certainly doesn't hurt that Dean Ambrose decided to pack on about 20 pounds to make this fight look a little more even, too.
Yeah. I just find the whole thing funny, like Braun Strowman basically coming out saying, I'm going to be a man and challenge you in your face when I cash the briefcase. Like it's going to make a difference. He's going to wait till the match is over and then kick you in the chest and then try to cash it in. And I know people brought up Sunday talking about how is he talking about he's going to be a man when he waits for, he wants to wait till after the match with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And I was like, he won his match. It's not his fault. His match only took a minute and a half. Like, you know, he had a match he won. He's using the rules of Money in the Bank, like the way it's designed. Like it's designed, it's not really designed for like a babyface to be noble. I mean, you can be dumb like Rob Van Dam and John Cena, say, I'm going to challenge you next week, but that's kind of stupid. You know, it's designed to win. Like, it's designed to be an advantage, and he's using the advantage. At least he's telling people, like, just like he told Finn Balor on Monday, you know, if you win, you're going to catch these hands, so good luck.
Yeah, I guess looking at it in that respect, it's not as maybe as egregious as I was thinking, because it was like, oh, come on, man, like, They're still going to be beat up, and yeah, Kevin Owens not providing him any resistance certainly made made things easier for him.
Yeah, and I will say this, because I know people have been talking about, is Roman Reigns a babyface or a heel? I would say it's nuance. Roman Reigns is definitely smart, because it's kind of like, you know, he just finished a match with Finn Balor. He knows Braun Strowman's lurking like Jason Voorhees, and it's like, you know, this guy's gonna keep coming after my belt. I'm gonna have my friends to watch my back. On the other hand, it's kind of a reason why, you know, babyface, it's not a lot of like babyface factions where they just jump people. Like, you know, they still fight right. People 3-on-1, and it's kind of like, it was different when it was like the first time was the Shield jumping people, because they were kind of like, you know, three equals, even though they served different parts. And right. Now it's kind of like, you know, Roman Reigns is taking his two buddies to make sure he keeps the belt. Like, they turned from the Freebirds to Evolution. And Roman Reigns turned from Terry Bam Bam Gordy to Triple H. So, being smart and being a hero is not necessarily the same thing. Like, he's definitely being smart and wise, but there's nothing heroic about jumping somebody because you can't beat him 1-on-1.
Yeah, and they've never shown any, well, I guess since the injury did kind of cause the split, like, they never had any reason to hate each other and were kind of getting back together to, I mean, they had picked on Braun Strowman previously. So that was another thing that I thought that they were just kind of, going back to an old storyline if they feel like going for it. Because did Strowman technically injure Ambrose?
I thought Ambrose got hurt during, well, storyline purposes, like that tag match. It was like him, Rob. I think it was like a six, like a three different. It was either like, you know, a tag match or like three tag teams fighting, like a tornado tag match on Raw.
Okay.
And like they wrote him off the storyline. But Braun made a good point on Twitter. He was like, you know, I've beaten all three of y'all one on one, so I'm going to get that belt. If I got to beat all of y'all at the same time, I will. And it's funny where the way they booked Raw and SummerSlam, they somehow got the belt on Roman Reigns without the crowd rioting. You know, having Braun Strowman come out there Sunday distracted the fact that Roman Reigns ended up winning. And, you know, the crowd didn't turn on the match because they're expecting, like, Braun Strowman to, like, do something. Brock Lesnar being an asshole and taking a briefcase and throwing it to break the damn screen was hilarious. Like, I'm going to miss, you know, Brock Lesnar's the heel. I know people complain like he wrestles once every 4 months, but he's always entertaining. He doesn't mind, like, you know, showing his ass and taking bumps because he always takes hits like he's getting shot by, like, a Uzi.
Yeah, he does sell surprisingly well for the fact that he probably has at least 70% offense in the majority of his matches. And yeah, that was when he tossed that briefcase. A, I didn't see the LEDs go out till people pointed it out in replays. But it was kind of a brilliant way to get something out of play. Like, if nothing else, the person's got to take the time to go and fetch it and come back.
Yeah, I was like, that was just so smart. And then you see what time it was when Roman Reigns win. It's like, okay, is Braun going to cash in? And then you see the credits, like, you know, we're out of time. Like, now they want to end pay-per-views on time. Like, all the other times, pay-per-views end 15 to 20 minutes late. And this one ends, like, you know, 1 minute after the hour. And I'm like, this is perfect. Like, I'll say this about SummerSlam. That was one of the best, like, long shows they've had a long time because it was a long show. But the main show did not drag at all. Like, the matches that were long were all good. And the matches that were short either had, like, a nice spot that you remembered or told a story, kept on moving. Like, nothing dragged.
Yeah, and that was kind of the crazy thing. I did think that that helped move the pay-per-view around because there were a handful of squash matches. And, honestly, I guess since we kind of started on Raw anyway, Ronda Rousey was definitely involved in one of those squash matches, too.
Oh, my God. I got to talk about that match on Sunday. Ronda Rousey's funny. It's like she's Ricky Steamboat combined with Clubber Lang. You know, like, before the match starts, she's all nice. I'm here. I respect women. We can be friends. I'm about empowerment. Let's have a fair fight. I don't want to hurt anybody. As soon as you piss off at a bell ring, she just want to beat your brains in. Like, I've never seen a babyface talk trash the whole match. Like, she's basically telling, like, Alexa, like, you know, are you ready to take this ass whipping? Like, catch these judo throws. The whole match, she's just talking nonstop about what she's going to do to Alexa. She turns her back to her, sits down in lotus position, cool out, like, you know, you want to get first shot, you want to get the first chance. And it was a straight, it was a squash. It was what it should have been, my surprise went to. Like, it was a straight squash match.
Yeah, that was one thing I'm like, oh my god, like, this, they really went there. Because there's the Braun squash match, that one, and I was just like, wow, it really did kind of help keep the pace of the show moving along. But like you said, like, there was something significant, and that one was definitely a significant moment in the evening.
Mm-hmm. And kudos to Alexa having that trick arm that people tend to forget, even though they've seen like three or four times, because Ronda putting her in an arm bar and turning her arms like a G.I. Joe doll was just hilarious. And I give people bag on Alexa because, quote unquote, she doesn't have great ring work. I'm like, they missed the point. She's a heel. Her whole job is to be unlikable, get booed. She wrestles in a way for you not to like her. And she can hang with, it's never a match, she's like, especially since she's been on Raw, she's never been a match where she seemed like out of place.
Oh.
Like, you know, she'll do what she needs to do to make the match work. And she did what she needed to do to make this match work. Like, you know, Ronda Rousey looked like $1 million. Alexa Bliss, like, she had no business being in that ring. And people were saying, oh, why was it squash? Ronda Rousey doesn't really have handwork like that. Look what happened to Holly Holm. I'm like, unless Holly Holm is showing up at Raw or SmackDown, that's irrelevant. I didn't know Alexa Bliss was in the Kumite before she joined WWE. Like, who are all these? Alicia Fox has these hands. They can go toe-to-toe with Ronda Rousey in a fair one. Like, what are we talking about?
Well, and that's just kind of stupid because you're going, oh, did someone forget that Holly Holm was a professional boxer before she was in MMA? You know, yes, Ronda's hands were not as good as hers because she was in judo. Crazy, yeah, like, you know? But I'm guaranteeing you that Ronda's better than anyone in the WWE locker room at throwing hands.
Yeah, and it's just amazing how good she is in such a short time frame. Like, she has not been wrestling that long, but you would not know, like, watching her. Like, she gets, it's like she's a fan that enjoys wrestling. And she's like a quick learner. Like, you can tell she enjoys doing what she's doing. And at the same time, it's like, it's just weird because they haven't had something like that in a long time. Like, somebody looks, they're having fun learning on the job, enjoying themselves while being a badass.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And I mean, I guess I thought when the Bellas showed up and said that they were going to be at that match, I'm like, oh, are they going to screw her over and end up getting in a feud with Ronda Rousey?
I think a lot of people thought that.
Yeah, that was one that I was kind of surprised that nothing ended up happening from it. But I also wouldn't be, I would not have a problem if it ended up happening, you know, even at a respect, like Ronda Rousey keeps on talking about it. They just go with the respect angle and they just, they want to duke it out. Like, Ronda really does, because she didn't fight that many people on the way up to the top, she can still fight a lot of people and it's going to be a fresh rivalry, which is something that's kind of weird for a title holder,
all
too.
All she's really fought is Alicia Fox and Alexa Bliss and Stephanie in a tag match. Like, she hasn't fought Sasha or Bayley or any of the Riot Squad or, you know, I mean, she's interacted with Mickie James. So she's got plenty of time, like, wrestle everybody else on Raw and then wrestle whoever she needs to wrestle on SmackDown. I figure she's either going to wrestle Stephanie or Nikki Bella. Like, Nikki Bella, if they wanted to hold the biggest star of the last generation with the top star of this generation, or wrestle Stephanie because they have a storyline and whatever reason, Stephanie's want to be Wile E. Coyote and talk trash every time she's in the ring with Ronda Rousey, even though every time she's in the ring with Ronda Rousey, she leaves in a damn sling. Ronda's kind of being a bully, though. I mean, like, Steph is kind of talking stuff, but it ain't like she put her hands on her. Like, Ronda's like, I only put people in arm bars if they deserve it. And then she just grabs her and put in a damn arm bar.
Yeah, she is definitely going the way of the bully. And I guess that's the other thing that makes her situation kind of interesting, and she's kind of stone cold. I guess a little bit in and of the fact that people never got tired of him whooping Vince McMahon's ass, even after, you know, well after the feud had kind of been dead and buried.
Yeah.
And everyone loves to see her get her ass whooped.
Exactly. And to be honest, like, no one gets to do anything to Stephanie anymore. Like, that's one of the complaints about Stephanie being in storylines. Like, she always has to have the last word. She always has to be, you know, above it and be like, you know, I'm the hero of the story. And just seeing Ronda Rousey beat the brakes off of her every time they interact is just cathartic. Like, it's fun. Like, I personally enjoy it because, like, you know, you brought it up talked about before, Triple H can be likable, even though he's been an asshole for like a decade, because it's like he has gravitas, and he's Mr. Uncle NXT, and people, remember that. And it helps that, for some reason, he's cutting the best promos he's ever cut in his life, like the last couple weeks, like since he's gotten older. Beside a year on SmackDown when she was the GM, Stephanie has, and when she first came there, she was like a, fresh face straight out of college. Stephanie's never been likable. Oh. Like, it's just hard for you to, like, have sympathy for Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, she has definitely been positioned as the evil one, maybe even more consistently than Vince himself. I feel like Vince might have had a couple of more babyface runs than Stephanie.
You're probably, she's just so overbearing and obnoxious. So it's easy to like dislike Stephanie, and it's just good. Like I say, I can watch Ronda do something to Stephanie every week. Like it's just fun. Cause I'll give Stephanie credit like this: when she sells something, she'll definitely sell it. And seeing her and her braids and Alexa Bliss rubbing the ice pack after she went through her thing, it was just, and that asshole Baron Corbin. Like, I know this was coming, and I would give kudos to Baron Corbin. He's doing the job well, because I roll my eyes every time he's on the damn screen. Like, I cannot stand Baron Corbin at all. Now, him wrestling like he's a Kroger manager with his damn slacks and his
big vest.
His vest and bullying Finn Balor and complaining to him about, I thought I was going to wrestle Finn Balor. The demon came out. That match shouldn't count. I'm like, they aren't separate people. He just wore paint.
Yeah, that always, when the heels complain about that kind of stuff, it always kills me. Yeah, he did not grow in stature and size. Finn Balor was still about a buck 85.
Yeah. You know what's funny? And I made the joke, you know, Finn Balor's a diva because they don't mention his weight anymore.
Oh, they don't?
They did not mention his weight, no. They just said, from such and such Ireland, Finn Balor. Oh. I'm like, he got the women treatment. Like, they did not, I guess they want to know he's wrestling somebody, he's a buck 76. And one white not on 205 Live. No, because I caught that, because they didn't mention his weight, and I was like, are they not mentioning weights anymore? But then they mentioned Roman Reigns' weight. That's what I'm definitely interested on Raw.
Yeah, I'll have to pay attention to that in the future. That's hilarious, though. And I guess I can kind of understand. I mean, because I feel like Daniel Bryan ended up putting weight on at some point within his WWE tenure to kind of bulk up some. And Finn Balor's like, nah, I'm good. This is what I weigh. And this is where I'm staying.
I mean, it works. That's the whole thing. Like, unless he's wrestling Braun Strowman, even though Finn Balor is small, he never seemed like he's too small to wrestle anybody. Like, he's, because one, he's in super shape, and two, he wrestles a style where he can kind of like go toe to toe with anybody. Like, him being in such great shape worth him where he doesn't need to bulk up, and he's only going to bulk up so much, like, he wouldn't even be Seth Rollins size. That's the point.
I don't even know if he'd be Daniel Bryan size, because I feel like Daniel Bryan's just kind of built a little bit wider, I guess, maybe is the somewhat accurate way to describe it.
Finn's built like a supermodel. So let that pretty butterfly be a pretty butterfly. You're not going to turn into a beef. Like, he's not going to be a beefcake. And you saw what happened with Rey Mysterio when he got big. He just looked like a chubby cruiserweight.
Yeah, he did not look good when he got big. And, yeah, they're definitely working with the smaller guys much better these days. But, yeah, I think they realize that his talents are best utilized not on 205 Live.
Yeah. Which is funny, people, they mentioned more people wondering that, but, I definitely noticed that. And to talk about Balor, Roman Reigns is perfect when he's being a dickhead babyface, because he first came out saying,
I'm gonna defend my title. I'm gonna fight each week. And then he like, you know, I'm gonna give Finn Balor a chance because he never got his rematch. And they're all like, yeah, just like that. And then they interview him again, like, after I beat him, he's gonna go to the back of the line. He's gonna have to work his way back up the ladder. And I was like, that's such an asshole line for a hero to say. Like, that's the thing with Roman Reigns. He's Lex Luger. And like, NWA, like, he is not likable. So don't try to make him, like, I remember, like, I watched old WCW pay-per-views. I was just watching, like, even when Lex Luger tried to be likable, it's like, you, if you look a certain way and you just carry yourself like a know-it-all dickhead, people will not like you. So Roman Reigns works best when he's being an asshole.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I don't even think the Shield thing is going to, like, outright make him a heel. Just because people still kind of, it's still weird that everyone has the nostalgia love for the Shield, even the people that hate Roman Reigns.
They were an awesome group, and you know, it's weird where I don't see how he can be a babyface when he got two guys watching his back to make sure he don't lose this belt. Like, that's. Especially when it's kind of like, it's not like Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are the New Age Outlaws. Like, Seth Rollins is still the IC title holder. Dean Ambrose has won the world title himself. Like,
right.
This whole thing, in a different world, you can see either one of them challenging him for the title. And I was like, you know, we're going to be brothers and make sure I hold my belt because Big Bad Braun going to take it from me like the boogeyman as soon as I get tired after a match. It's smart, but it's not like, you know, that's the thing about wrestling.
It's not sustainable.
You can't be a babyface and be smart. Like, they don't go hand in hand. Like, the whole fight fair, fight one-on-one, that sounds all nice. That's dumb. And most babyfaces, when you look at it, do dumb stuff so they can be, you know, honorable heroes. And we haven't really had a smart one since Randy Orton was on, when Randy Orton was a babyface on SmackDown, like, you know, I'm not going to come out there because I know you're going to jump me as soon as I, you know, roll out the ring. And I respect you too much, so we're going to fight one-on-one. But if you turn your back, I'm still going to hit you in the back of the head. Like, yeah, you don't get that anymore. Like, you know, The Rock was smart. Stone Cold was smart. But most babyfaces are stupid. That's the nature of being a babyface. So seeing Roman Reigns be like, I got my brothers watching my back so I can keep my title. It's like, I guess. That sounds like something Triple H used to do.
Yeah, I could see them striking some type of a balance if they want to. Because I guess at this point it's kind of funny. I don't see Braun Strowman taking it from him if this is going to be like the next feud. Like, I don't see Roman Reigns finally winning the title and just giving it up a month later. So I could see the Shield helping Reigns in this first title defense against Strowman, and then whoever he moves on to, they kind of move along too, because that would bring a different dynamic to you know, his title defenses.
Yeah, this all works because it's Braun Strowman, because it's kind of like if this was Kevin Owens doing that, then Roman Reigns would really look like a chump. But
right.
I don't know. It's kind of like sooner or later, Braun's going to win. I know people said before, like, he doesn't need the title, but he's too popular and has that briefcase for him not to win the title eventually, because then people going to turn. It's the same. If he doesn't get the title, people will get tired of that and really turn on Roman Reigns. It's going to be like this whole thing of somebody that we like more than you should have the title, and they don't have it because of. Like, you look how the crowd treats Braun Strowman. Like, it is no reason for somebody that big to be the most beloved babyface on Raw. Like, the bully that just squashes everybody, he, you know, tips trucks over people, and he's beloved. Like, he basically comes out and say, you know, you're going to catch these damn hands. And you got little kids chanting that. Like, you know, the stuff with Alexa Bliss shows that he has a soft side. The stuff with Finn Balor shows, like, you know, he has a friendly side. Like, he's a 3D fully formed monster that that happens to be a hero.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things where just what the babyface comprises these days is it's peak 2018, I guess. Because there's a lot of kind of anti-heroes that gets a lot of cheers. As I pointed out on Twitter, Samoa Joe was one of those gentlemen.
Joe, yay Samoa! Get him! Yeah, I heard that little kid, and I was like, what in the world is going on? He just choked out AJ Styles, and this little six-year-old is cheering him on. I know it's Brooklyn, but damn.
Yeah.
So when I saw that tweet you put, I laughed my ass off, because I heard the exact same thing, and I was thinking the same thing you were thinking.
Yeah, and I guess it's one of those things that it kind of help explains Braun Strowman in a way, too. Like, that type of badassery is not frowned upon, and it's something that, I mean, I don't know how many times any combination of us have said it, but that's the way Roman Reigns should have been booked from the first place, but he never was, so we're in this spot now.
Yeah, I mean, it's still not too late to do that, but I don't know if you have your top champion basically say, I'm going to beat you up and then go home and take your wife and tuck your kids in. So, like, Samoa Joe is being an asshole. Like,
yeah.
Not just I'm a badass who's going to beat you up. Like, I'm going to show you that you're a bad father and I'm going to take over your family.
Yeah.
And he's basically, and like, that SummerSlam match was just so awesome because, one, it was a great match. And, two, it told an awesome story. Like, you know, because Joe had a one. He's like, you know, you said you're going to go home to, you know, daddy's not coming home, but don't worry, I'm your daddy now. And they zoom in on AJ Styles' face, and AJ Styles, if he would have had a gun, he'd have shot Samoa Joe. Like, he was just so
seething with rage.
And then it ends with him with his daughter, and, like, you know, the dog saying, daddy, you're bleeding. And he's like, I'm sorry. And they're all hugging. And think about that. That Brooklyn crowd is cheering that on when that could have been as sappy as hell. Like, AJ Styles was doing Ricky Steamboat better than Ricky Steamboat was doing that in the 80s when he was fighting Flair.
Yeah, it's weird what that Brooklyn crowd will go along with. AJ Styles, beloved enough in the ring to not have the Roman Reigns haters come out.
Yeah, I guess people will respect you fighting for your family. I mean, no matter, like, no. Snark aside, like, that has worked.
Yeah.
Like, when Booker T was feuding with Kurt Angle over that, because Kurt Angle was talking about he wanted to have bestiality sex with Charmel. And it was like, people were saying, like, they wanted Booker T to just beat his ass. Like, you can't be disrespecting somebody's wife like that. And it's like, people like Samoa Joe, but, like, yeah, he's stepping out of pocket, like, you know. Your wife,
yeah.
Bad that you're not a good husband, and don't worry, I'm going to be a better father than you'll ever be. Like, nah, that's hands on sight. Like, we can fight for the title. Can't talk about my kids and my woman like that. Especially when it's like the storyline is they've been friends for a decade, and people know they've been friends. So that makes me, that's one of those things where real life history elevates this.
Yeah, and I guess it was kind of funny. Going into SummerSlam, I'm like, man, why are they wasting this feud? Like, it seemed like they were going to kind of blow through it, but with AJ Styles snapping at SummerSlam, it extends this thing, and it really makes the angle that they're taking resonate more with me, I guess, even though it's vile and unnecessary.
I mean, it adds to it, because it goes from, like, just being a wrestling match to, like, being personal, and you can tell this is going to go on for a while. Like, the way they have this book, like, it's not going to be like a one-and-done thing like it was with Rusev. Like, they're going to, because really, AJ Styles is kind of running out of people to beat. So they kind of have to, like, he's beating everybody that's, like, a top person on SmackDown. Like, who else, like, after this thing with Joe, who else is he going to fight?
Oh, that is something that I cannot answer because I am not looking at SmackDown's roster currently. But there's probably a really
not gonna be R2 for Todd Dillinger. So
yeah, I was gonna say that list that I can't think of is probably one or two persons long.
Yeah,
so, like, I guess I would not be surprised to know that there are not many options for Styles not repeat.
Yeah, like, it's funny, with SmackDown has people, but it's like, it's mostly women and tag teams in the mid-card. You know, he's already wrestled Nakamura, he's wrestled Rusev, he's wrestled Randy Orton. John Cena, he's wrestled him, and John Cena's not there. Unless it's the Undertaker, like that's really about it. The only person that's kind of left.
Ooh man, yeah, that's that's quite a statement. And I'm rolling through some names here, and that could be just about it here on the SmackDown roster. Oof, Samoa Joe is really the last guy.
Yeah, unless they move somebody or they elevate Almas and have him wrestle again, which they could do if they want to do that. So this feud will probably go along just out of necessity because, like, Daniel Bryan is busy with The Miz. So those kind of only other names where you can see that happening. Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles would be, like, a great feud if they want to go there again. AJ Styles, The Miz, I mean, entertainment value that could work. They'd have decent matches. I don't think people have a snowball chance of hell that The Miz could beat AJ Styles, though.
I would be pretty shocked if The Miz beat him.
Yeah, TV show or not, and that TV show is enjoyable. Yeah, it's kind of like kudos to The Miz for making himself into what he is now. But, yeah, I don't see him. He could hang with AJ Styles. I just don't think he could, it could seem credible him beating AJ Styles. But speaking of SmackDown and kind of how storylines are dictated by the fans, this whole Charlotte Becky Lynch thing is just so funny to me because they both have points.
Oh.
Like, Becky Lynch definitely has a point because it's kind of like, she had to work her way up to get her match and Charlotte just mosey her way in here and takes her spotlight and it's like, enough is enough. And it kind of helps that a lot of people do not like Charlotte Flair because they think she just gets by on nepotism. On the flip side, what did Charlotte do wrong? She won her match. She got a title shot. She won the title. What's she going to say? Yeah, I'm going to skip this one because Becky Lynch deserved it because she had a losing streak because we're friends. Like, she got a title match. Why should she not actually wrestling a title match? Like, it's funny where Charlotte's not going to get any sympathy, even though she didn't do anything wrong storyline, because in real life, people feel a certain way about Charlotte.
Hey, well, and that was something that I did notice this week, is on SmackDown Live, they called her Charlotte Flair, and you were talking about the nepotism thing. It's kind of funny how that name kind of, not that they don't say it with the announcers, but most of the times they just call her Charlotte and that's it. And if they kind of play that nepotism card, they bring that name out of the woodwork to help drive it home storyline-wise.
Uh-huh. And it's so funny, though, about Charlotte, because people get on and say, she's up. They call like Kevin Nash Jr., and she's always in title matches. I'm like, it's a reason for that. One, she's one of the best women wrestlers they have. Two, she's drop-dead gorgeous. And three, is like, she's Ric Flair's daughter. Like, what you expect? And the reason I laugh at this whole thing, I remember when she was feuding with Nikki Bella, and people were talking about how Nikki Bella's only winning because of nepotism, because she's dating John Cena. And I'm like, this is going to sound real funny 6 months from now. We're talking about this nepotism thing, holding down the daughter of Rick goddamn Flair. But I'm like, let people have their fun talk about that, because, they'll change their tune just like they will with Sasha Banks, and look what happened. Like, people like you until Vince likes you. And then they don't like you anymore. Like, people like Becky Lynch because she doesn't, she's not dominant. Like, she's an underdog, and she's like in Charlotte's shadow. if she got pushed like Charlotte, people would not feel about Becky Lynch that way.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, she definitely got to where she was in a different manner. And I do like, well, like you said, like I just really like her motivations, you know, because it is kind of funny. They've kind of downplayed the SmackDown angle of things. But Becky did mention it tonight about being, you know, the first women's champion on SmackDown. And that really should be a point since Charlotte started off on Raw. Mm-hmm. You know, and just to have her say that this is her brand, you know, not Charlotte's brand, I think yeah, could be something that
she basically kind of said that. And she tried to be a heel as much as she could tonight. The crowd would not let her. Because she was kind of saying, like, you know, oh, you guys are cheering me now. I didn't hear you chanting for me on Sunday. And where were you at when I was on my losing streak? And they, like, we was on Twitter complaining that you should have got a push. And she, like, you know, saying, like, I'm the best woman on the show. And I'm the best wrestler in the, like, best wrestler on the planet. They're like, yeah, we know. It's kind of this whole thing, like, I'm trying to be a bad guy. And they like me so much, they won't let me be a bad guy thing. Because they like Becky Lynch, and it was kind of like Becky Lynch had a point. Like, I'm trying to do all of this, and Charlotte just comes swooping her ass in here with her double D's and taking my shine. And now here I, you know, and then Carmella's there kind of stirring the pot, the whole thing. Like, you know, you're just going to be Charlotte's sidekick. You're going to let that slide. What you going to do about it? Like, people kind of forget, like, Carmella was in that match, too. She probably had the best match she's had, like, in her life. Like, she definitely carried her weight, and she was working her ass off. And she did a good job, like, being an instigator.
Yeah.
In that entire match and that entire feud, like, you know, y'all worry about me. Y'all don't even like, y'all supposed to be best friends, but she, you know, if that was your friend, she wouldn't try to steal your title shot.
Yeah, Carmella, that definitely was her best match. And that was one where I'm like, damn, man, that made me look at her differently. And good for her. Like, hey, I'm sure it would have been hard to keep up with both Becky Lynch and Charlotte at the same time. So kudos to her. That was a tough situation. And yeah. Kind of like Alexa, she plays her character so well. She's just so easily hateable.
Yes.
So, yeah, she's going to keep on popping up, and she's going to have other title reigns because of how beatable she is.
She's got a match coming with Trish Stratus. It's like that Spider-Man meme. It's kind of like they're the same. Like, you know, except for, like, Trish Stratus is, like, 3 inches taller, probably.
Oh, isn't it Alexa that has the match with Trish?
Oh, Trish and Alexa Bliss at Evolution.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize we stepped over from Carmella to Alexa.
Only because you brought up Alexa again. Oh, it's kind of sticking about this one, that the fact that that's a match is kind of like, you would have never guessed that would be a match, but it's like, it's a perfect fit because they are basically the same, you know. When I see Alexa Bliss as a heel, she reminds me of when Trish Stratus was a heel.
Yeah, when she first came in, she most certainly was a heel, and people hated her because, yeah, they both did fitness competitions, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they both kind of had the same mold. Like you said, they're kind of clones, and that's a crazy matchup that I wouldn't have expected. And I still fully expect Trish Stratus to get one last win unless she's just going to put over the new people, and which would not shock me either.
I figured she let Alexa win because, like, Trish doesn't have anything to prove. Like, she's already a Hall of Famer. She's not going to come back full time because there's no point. So her win is not a thing. I'm curious about this winning last, that Triple H Undertaker thing, because I shouldn't care about this match, but Triple H made me care about this match. Like, that promo he cut on Monday was just awesome. And I'm like, because first, I'm like, you know, I love this business, and I'm glad I saw NXT and SummerSlam, and I'm just going to make sure to the day I die that I got to bring you great matches. And it's like, I remember when Triple H was one of the most hated men in wrestling, and now he's CrossFit Paul Heyman, where everyone loves him because they know he just wants to put on good matches for the people, and like, he cares. And then he goes the whole thing, like, you know, when they call me to wrestle the Undertaker, I'm like, hell no, because I already did it. We had that WrestleMania match with me, him, and HBK. Like, that was when we ended an era. But it's like, you know, I just got it one last time. Put the suit off. I'm going to take the suit off. I'm going to tape up the fist. I'm going to be the game again. If Undertaker puts on his hat and his coat one last time, and we just going to do it. Like, he set the time, like, Saturday, whenever the date was, Australia, me and him, let's get it on. Like, an old school promo. And I'm like, Triple H cuts awesome promos now.
Yeah, I might not go so far as to say that it was his best promo of his recent efforts, but I agree with you that in general, he has been cutting the best promos of his life over this, you know, this part-time phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think his best one recently was that one with Seth Rollins before WrestleMania, talking about, you know, I don't... What is something like talking about, like, I don't chase dreams, I chase money or something like that? Like, this whole thing, like, why do we hate on success? When you're a millionaire, you hate it. When you're a billionaire, you're a criminal. You worry about these fans. I'm worried about getting paid. Like, and I had forgot that promo. I was watching it on YouTube, and I watched, I'm like, why were we booing Triple H? Because that whole thing, like, Triple H was making sense, that whole thing. Like, you know, I'm just trying to build NXT, I'm retired, and your punk ass is getting in my face. And then it's like Seth Rollins talking about, I'm going to come to your house and basically assault Stephanie and snatch your kids. Like, I'll burn your house down to get a WrestleMania match. And it's kind of like, yeah, Seth Rollins is being a lunatic, and Triple H is just being a family man trying to protect his family. Like, and being reasonable.
Oh, good old Seth Rollins. He does love to burn things down.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he kind of got out that phase, because that early babyface Seth Rollins stuff was kind of rough. Where it's like, you know, I just want to murder Triple H for what he did to me. I'm like, yeah, you could be a tough babyface. No one wants to cheer a killer.
Yeah, he is certainly in a much different spot on his own. I would hope, or I would think, after Dolph Ziggler's loss to Dean Ambrose, that Ziggler is out of the title picture for the time being, even if another match happens again.
Yeah, I got a feeling him and Drew McIntyre will be parting ways in the near future.
Yeah, that would not surprise me at all.
As they should. Yeah, I have small ears. I don't know if you know this, like, my ears are very small, so I'm sensitive to, like, ear trauma. Uh-huh. So when Randy Orton grabbed Jeff Hardy's ear holes again, and Jeff Hardy gave him that ass whoop, and I'm like, yeah, you brought that on yourself, Randy Orton. It's like, that's just so disgusting. And then SmackDown, they put the camera on the little kids and the people, and they covering their face and grabbing their ears, and I'm like, ugh, like, it's just, I don't know what it is about grabbing those ear holes and just yanking. I'm like, it's just a visceral disgust where it's like, and I didn't think Jeff Hardy was going to snap like that, but he lost it. And it's kind of like, kudos to him, because Randy Orton brought that on himself.
Yeah, they definitely, I think that's part of the reason why even some of the heels get cheered. If there's a good reason for you to snap, everyone is all for whatever ass whooping you hand out. And the second time through the ear pull, I think people would have understood after the first time. But the second time is definitely a no-go zone. So Jeff Hardy whooping his ass and, you know, going through with another swanton off of a large, tall object.
And he was hard. First, he kicked him square in the nuts. Then he was hitting him with a chair. He hit him with a handheld camera. Like, he was just picking up stuff and just hitting him with it. Like, Jeff Hardy was ruthless. Like, you're not used to seeing Jeff Hardy just be like a villain. Because Jeff Hardy is so likable. Like, Jeff Hardy was just beating the crap out of Randy Orton. And you see him at the end, he hit the swanton. He had his look on his face like he's smiling with them damn white contacts, looking like a damn devil. And it was like, it was something very disconcerting about that. But it was like, you know, justified because Randy Orton kept jumping him week after week. And it was like, you know, enough's enough.
Yeah, it's... I guess it was needed for that feud, which it's still just been one of the weirder things, just because that was another one that Orton didn't really do anything at SummerSlam.
He showed up and left.
So, yeah, that one was kind of strange. I'm like, no after-match shenanigans this time? And it's like, no. Oh, okay.
He went all the way to SummerSlam just to poke his head out. Let Jeff Hardy know he's there and then leave. I'm like, at least they were in Brooklyn for, you know, Raw and SmackDown. Because I'm like, that'd have been a wasted flight. Like, you flew all the way to Brooklyn to do nothing. Like, I know you still get paid, but it's like, I could have stayed home and did that.
Yeah, well, he got paid to do a little bit more on SmackDown Live. So there was no problem paying for the flight for that one.
Exactly. And meanwhile, Nakamura's just backstage just laughing. Like, it's this feud's just been so funny because it's kind of like it's a three-person feud. Nakamura just beats Jeff Hardy, laughs at Randy Orton beating up Jeff Hardy, and laughs at Jeff Hardy. And it's like, you know, I won the title again. I beat the sad clown Jeff Hardy. And now it's going to be the United States of Nakamura. Like, he's just having the fun just being a dickhead U.S. champion. And it's just, like, I love heel Shinsuke Nakamura because you can tell he's really enjoying himself, just having fun. And I don't know if you saw the GIF of SummerSlam when Jeff Hardy was mocking Nakamura and Nakamura had his face like two people stealing crack from each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that one.
Like, imagine somebody who didn't watch wrestling watch that match. I'm like, I'm watching this like, what the hell am I watching?
That was definitely an interesting match. And it's a couple of interesting characters involved. Because, Jeff Hardy, in some ways he was always a conventional babyface. But just because of the whole artistic side, he certainly was presented way different than any other babyface.
And Jeff Hardy was like Kurt Cobain on speed, basically. Like, he was a babyface because he was handsome, he was small, and women just wanted to hug him. But he was never like regular. He was a weirdo from Jump Street. It's just, he just got more weird as he got older. And now you see him with the white eye contact and the pain on his eyelids and all this stuff, and it's like, yeah, he's weird. Nakamura is definitely weird himself. Like, it's, every time my wife watches, I'm like, what's wrong with him? Like, you know, it's funny, when he first came in, he was cool, and now he's just like, he's a likable, weirdo dickhead. Like, all those gyrations, and the way he just has his eyes and stuff, and like, did he wrestle corduroys Sunday? Pajama pants? Like, what? I thought he was going to tear those pants off and, like, had his regular wrestling pants on. I'm like, why is he wrestling in pajama pants?
Because he's Shinsuke Nakamura. He's the artist. He's allowed to do these things.
The artist just rolled out the booth and just wrestled. And kudos to Steve for getting 3 million views on Twitter for that post. Because when I saw Jeff Hardy do that, I'm like, what are you doing, Jeff Hardy? That's what Randy Orton was talking about. Like, people doing that dumb shit just to get cheered. And Randy Orton was like, I'm too old and too good to be doing that nonsense. So if that's what it takes to be a hero, kiss my ass. Like, you're proving Randy Orton to be right. Because I saw that. I'm like, oh,
Well,
like, don't do it, Jeff.
That's the only angle, like, at least with Randy. Because Randy Orton kind of was trying to sell the same set of wares that Becky Lynch did about not getting respect from the crowd. And it's just like, huh? Like, you've been cheered for, like, years and years and years now, no matter what you do.
Yeah,
like this. I mean, this angle
did have a point, but it's like you're right. Kind of like he gets cheered regardless. But like he came out saying, you know, I don't change my T-shirt every month. I don't jump off of, you know, fences like a jackass. You know, I just come out here and wrestle and be good. You hate me because I'm rich and because I'm a third generation handsome superstar. Kiss my ass. I am who I am. And it's like he right. Like Becky Lynch. Like it's funny where the heels are basically being right. And the fans are cheering them because they know they're being right. Right. It's kind of like the storyline isn't matching what the crowd wants to see.
Yeah. And the WWE just kind of keeps on finding themselves in that position. And they haven't. I guess I don't know how they keep on turning heroes into anti-heroes. But they keep on doing it.
Yeah. I always wonder about, because people always say, like, you know, they don't know how to book on the main roster. And I'm like, they do. It's kind of like, it's just depending on who it is. Like, you can't look at Braun Strowman and think they don't know what they're doing. Because there's no way in the world that Braun Strowman should be as popular as he, like, he didn't get as popular as he was by accident. Like, that was planned. And it's, people don't, you know what I learned? People don't mind pushes if they like the people. Because Braun Strowman had this monster push, was just beating everybody, and he's the most beloved person on Raw. Like, you know, Kurt Angle first year was beating everybody. Brock Lesnar's first year was definitely beating everybody. People didn't complain. They liked him. You know, they don't mind pushes when they like you. It's when they don't like you or they feel like somebody else should get it is when they had the problem. Like, example of Charlotte. Charlotte issue is the same issue Sasha Banks has. They're better heels. Like, Charlotte used to talk this whole, I'm genetically superior to everybody else, and my bloodline is the reason I'm going to be the best. Like, imagine you a 5'10" blonde that's talking about being like a Nordic superwoman. Your dad's Ric Flair, and you're going to be, like, beloved. Like, no. Like, that's not, like, look at Becky Lynch. Look at where she came from and how she carries herself. Look at Charlotte and everything surrounding her. If you didn't know anything about anything except for, like, the basics, who would you cheer?
Well, yeah, and that's it, Becky, and that's why it's so weird that she's the one that's being put in the heel position. Speaking-wise, like, I guess I don't mind it at all, but it is kind of weird that she's in the spot that she's in. But, like you said, that's why she's getting cheered, too. Because everyone's just like, yeah, we agree with your point. She shouldn't have, Charlotte should not have horned in on that match.
You know, it's going to be funny. It's going to be funny that Charlotte's going to get so resented that she's going to turn heel herself. And she's going to be justified saying, all I did was win. You know, I wasn't on like a 3-month losing streak, so I had to win 9 matches just to get a title shot. I beat Carmella. I got a title shot, won the title. What am I supposed to do? Not wrestle for the title? Like, we supposed to be wrestling for the belt, and you hating me because of my dad or because I'm beautiful, that whole thing. Like, you hate me for being me, and Charlotte's going to be right, and people are not going to care, and if people are going to realize, like, maybe we had a point, like, you know, or Charlotte had a point, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go right back all over again. Like, Charlotte's going to be the heel, and she's going to be the justified heel.
That would not shock me at all if that cycle continues. Because, yeah, it's just going to happen. It seems to be kind of the system. Well, I guess we kind of sideways into it. You know, the system on the main roster. It's just a different system than what they have in NXT. And I guess I still lean towards more of liking the system on NXT.
And NXT has an advantage where they don't have to make money, so they can tell old-fashioned storylines within like a smaller studio audience, and they know exactly what the fans want. But the same thing with NXT, They only have like three heels that are actually get treated like heels. Lars Sullivan, Tommaso Ciampa, and Shayna Baszler, where they get consistently booed. Especially like, I give credit to Shayna Baszler. They have never cheered her. Like, never. Well, like, just, it don't matter that she's cool or she's Ronda Rousey's friend. Like, she's what Baron Corbin should have been. Like, she's just a big-ass bully that wrestles like a bully, talks trash like a bully, and it doesn't hurt that she's wrestling Kairi Sane, that's probably like the most pure babyface they have right now.
Yeah, I honestly can't love her more. Like you said, like most of the babyfaces, and we've kind of talked about it a lot this show, have some type of edge to them these days. Kairi Sane is not that babyface.
Yeah, and just,
I don't think she will be.
Yeah, she's, and the funny thing about her is she's all happy and joyous and full of smiles, and she treats every match like it's a life or death thing, but she will murder you. Like, she's like a damn gremlin. Like, if you throw water on her, she will, it's just, she's like 5'1" that just wrestles a vicious ass style. And I tell people all the time, I remember, and I forgot this was the same person until I like double check. I remember when she was on Lucha Underground when they wrestled Pentagon Jr. And like, it was her and two other Japanese girls that wrestled, and it was like a 3-on-1 match. They wrestled one at a time. And that was the first Lucha Underground match I watched where I got uncomfortable watching it, because Pentagon Jr. was beating the ever loving crap out of this 90-pound woman. Like, hitting her with chairs, hitting her in the face, backbreakers, German suplexes, chops to the chest. Like, he was wrestling her like she was a damn man. And I'm watching this, and I told Jeremy, some other people, I'm like, did you feel uncomfortable watching this? Like, yeah. But then she's going toe-to-toe, and that's the first time I saw that heavenly elbow. And yeah, that match that like her and Shayna Baszler had, I'm not surprised that she won. I'm surprised how she won.
Yeah, she kind of had a dominant victory. Like, you know, she definitely had to fight for it, but I was still surprised that it was kind of a, you know, straight up big win for her.
You know, like, she just came, you know, she was selling the whole thing like, I'm gonna be vicious. She was dropping the elbows multiple times. She went for the submission. She drops the elbow. Shayna puts her feet up to hit the elbow on the way down, puts her in the sleeper hold, and then Kairi just reverses and pins it. And I was like, it just happened so quick. I was like, wow, that was unexpected. But the crowd got behind it. They liked it. Kairi, like, she's about to burst in like a zillion tears. Like, you know, she beat the big bad monster and stuff. And yeah, she's going to have that belt till Bianca Belair beats her to death with her braid. Because I'm thinking that's going to be the next person to have that belt, like, when Bianca Belair's ready to win. And if she, I can see her strangling Kairi with that hair and putting her to sleep. I still think that should be, like, illegal.
It does seem out of bounds, considering that you are not supposed to use your opponent's hair against them, but they're allowed to use it for their gain.
Yeah. I mean, it's an awesome thing. I remember the first time I saw the Mae Young Classic, I'm like, what is she, Simon Belmont? Like, she's got a damn whip on the top of her scalp. And people talking about, oh, that thing's corny. I'm like, yeah, let her hit you with that. Like, when she was wrestling Kairi and she was beating her like a damn slave, it was nothing corny about that. That shit looked like it hurt.
Yeah, I'm sure that's pretty nasty. And she gets some pretty decent torque on that. I know it's hair, but it's still, you know, it acts more like a whip then.
Yeah, it's thick and it's gotten longer since then. And Bianca Belair is probably the best athlete they have ever had as a woman. Like, it's insane what she can do, like, in the ring. And she hasn't wrestled that long either. Like, Yeah, that's gonna be like a Vader Sting feud when those two wrestle, because Bianca's just gonna like bully the crap out of her.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be the same story basically that they told with Shayna, except obviously Bianca's, well, yeah, her power is more her main feature rather than her catch wrestling.
And, yeah, like you got you have a style. Woman that can deadlift like 430 pounds and can also do a 450. Like, how are you gonna? Like, that's just amazing thinking about that. Like, she's we're at an age now where it's not like, you know, we're getting supermodels and putting them in the ring to learn to wrestle. It's like we're getting people that used to do track and shot put, and we're training them to be wrestlers. And now you get people like that. Yeah, she can flip over a car and do a springboard dropkick. Like, they didn't have women like that 5 or 10 years ago, and they're going to have more women like that now. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that, because I love Kairi Sane. Io Shirai might be even better than Kairi Sane is, and people want to find out about her when Mae Young Classic drops again. Like, NXT is in an awesome place where they just have these great wrestlers having these great matches and then just graduate to the main roster. And I know we've been talking for a while.
Oh, okay. This is still shorter than a normal show.
Yeah. That Adam Cole Ricochet match, I don't know if people appreciate that spot. The fact that Ricochet didn't break his neck just shows how great both of them are. Because I saw that super kick and I'm like, how the hell did that happen and Ricochet didn't die?
Yeah, and I mean, and they really played into that spot too, with Adam Cole having the super kick blocked not that long before that. So yeah, not only was it expertly executed, which there is not a match with Ricochet that I don't go, how the fuck? And I'm just sitting there like, There is no better way to put it, and I'm sure someone said it before, Mauro, too, that Ricochet, he's like watching a video game. I just don't understand how that happens sometimes.
If he's on a video game, people be thinking it's the computer using the cheat code. Like, this, it's the things he can do at his size, people should not be able to do. Like, Leo Rush does some wild stuff, and I'm like, Leo Rush probably the fastest man I've ever seen. Oh. Like, he just runs around like gravity and friction does not exist in his world. Ricochet can probably do all the stuff Leo Rush can do and probably weighs about 40 pounds more. Like, you forget, like, you know, he's deadlifting people that are like 300 pounds or hitting them like German suplexes, and then he can do like, you know, a 720.
Yeah, he's kind of like Bianca Belair in that respect, where they both have the athleticism and the power combo. And wow, that was kind of funny. I guess I hadn't realized how long he'd been wrestling, because someone told him, "Oh, I've been following you since you're Prince Puma." He's like, "That was 2014. I started wrestling in 03.
One of those hipster fans who thought, "Oh, look at me being cool." Like, it's just Adam Cole super kicked him in midair while Ricochet was doing a moonsault and kicked him in the neck in midair. Like, even in slow motion, I'm like, how did he hit him flush in the neck and Ricochet didn't just land on his head and die? And he did that at regular speed. Like, I'm not the biggest Adam Cole fan, but kudos to Adam Cole. Like, it's something where I don't know what it is, but I know he definitely, like, the crowd definitely likes him. I don't know why. I see this guy, I'm like, who is this skinny dude that looks like a meth version of Shawn Michaels? Like, this skinny little man that just had a crowd in the palm of his hand. But it's just something about him where he can just wrestle his ass off and the crowd just gets behind him.
I really enjoyed his run in ROH. But he is one of those weird ones where I kind of to me, he has the frame to add some of that weight that people do in the WWE. So I've been kind of surprised that he looks like he's leaned out, actually, which I find kind of interesting just because, you know, you can still get by like Finn Balor on the main roster and be smaller, but it usually helps to be over 200 pounds or else, your opportunities can be limited from time to time.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm not going to be like Dave Meltzer and body shame people because we're better men than that. And Adam Cole, he looks like a guy that's in great shape, but not like an imposing wrestler.
Oh.
I mean, it's fine. It's just kind of like,
yeah,
it's hard to be small and look like I'm just a guy that's like, I'm a good cyclist. Because Finn Balor looks like a comic book. You see like Finn Balor and Ricochet and how Neville looked, like the people around his size look a lot bigger than he does. So it's kind of like, you can get away with that NXT. It's going to be way more note. Like, I couldn't imagine him on Raw with that body. Not because he couldn't wrestle. It's just kind of like, you put him in a match with like Drew McIntyre. They're like, what? Like, why Drew McIntyre wrestling his little brother is going to be what a regular fan might think.
Well, and then he also, again, as well as he wrestles, he does not have the speed of someone like Finn Balor. So he can't use something like that to kind of make up for that size differential, at least ring-wise. Yeah, I think that that's going to be more of a hindrance on the main roster, but at NXT, he has to deal with maybe Lars Sullivan?
Yeah, like, it helps with NXT where it's not a lot of big guys there.
Yeah.
You know, Lars Sullivan kind of stands out. EC3, who looks like John Cena, that devolved the generation. It's something about EC3. I'm just like, I'm not. It's just something about him that's just off. And it's not the character. It's when he wrestles. Like, he wrestles so damn clunky. And I don't, like, everything just seemed like it's just a step off. Like, a slower John, like how John Cena used to wrestle, but worse, if that makes sense. Like, it's nothing like, and that's the first time I noticed, like, I watched that match with Velveteen Dream, and that match was, it got my own personality. Like, the wrestling was kind of like, yuck. Like, just the basic stuff they were doing. And I don't know if it was Velveteen's fault, EC3 fault, or both. It just seemed like everything was doing was kind of like, was clunky. Like, Eva Marie was having a match again.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't go that far for EC3's in-ring quality. But I said this before, like before they kind of expanded the roster, he couldn't quite get onto the main roster. You know, there was a reason, and some guys, well, like him or like Drew McIntyre, need to leave to do something. But I still think that EC3's main problem is going to be keeping up with it. Just about everyone can go now.
Yeah, like I think he'd be better off, like you said, I think he'd be better off on Raw than he would be in NXT. Because, like, you know, we can get by with his personality and body. It's like enough people could kind of like have a match where they might be better but wouldn't stand out. NXT got too many people like Tyler Bate and Ricochet, like Roderick Strong's and all that. They got a whole bunch of like ring just veterans and superstars.
Well, and I didn't even think about it, but it's not that it's some guy we need to talk about for a lot of time, but Elias was a guy that didn't really do much in NXT, but you've kind of seen what he's done on the main roster. I'm not sure if EC3 goes that far, but he definitely has more of a body and size type for the main roster.
Personality and catchphrases will definitely get you over on Raw. Like, because wrestling fans just love chanting crap. Like, you know, as we saw this Adam Cole Bay Bay nonsense, I'm like, kudos to him for getting something that worked, but it just gets on my nerves every time I hear it, because I'm like, what's the damn point? Like, every time I just hear it, I'm like, why is this a thing? But I'm like, it's a thing because he made it a thing, and people like chatting for stuff, so...
Yeah, like, it's one of those things that I kind of remember when he started doing it, but I don't remember why it started. Because it's, yeah, it is definitely carried over from Ring of Honor to the WWE. Oh, man. So,
yeah. So, but speaking of things going over, kudos to Velveteen Dream.
Oh.
But let's continue. Like, one of the tights was just hilarious. Like, he just... I mean, he'll be up there sooner or later. It's like, everybody kind of know. And I laughed the whole thing. Like, you think he'll get in trouble with those tights? I doubt he snuck those tights past Triple H. Like, I'm sure they knew what was happening. Because no way in the world, like, you ready to go. Oh, you can't wear those tights, but too late. Go out there and get anywhere. I hope you don't get in trouble. Like, come on now. This is not, you know.
This is 2018. That shit ain't happening.
This ain't Backyard Wrestling Federation. Like, this is it's NXT. It's still a WWE promotion. And they micromanage everything when it comes to stuff like that. Like, he ain't just coming out with some unauthorized tights and they letting it slide.
I guess I didn't even think for a moment about those being, illegal tights, I guess you could call them. And, honestly, that's one of those funny things where someone had mentioned that he wouldn't ever really need to win the NXT title to get called up. And I'd agree with that, but I would have to say after beating EC3, the possibility of him winning the title before going up, increased.
Yeah, he may be up before he gets the chance. Like, he does, that's the thing, he doesn't need the title in NXT. The title wouldn't make a difference for somebody like him one way or the other. And for all the people worry about, oh, he's going to go to the main roster and they going to ruin him. I'm like, Vince McMahon came with the idea of Gold Dust in the 90s. Back when people were way less tolerant of stuff like that than they are now. Like, I mean, we give a lot of guff to Vince McMahon. A lot of it's kind of well-earned. But something like this is definitely up his alley. Like, he would know what to do with this man. If they wanted to give him the push, he would get the push. The fact that they let him film that skit with him and EC3 at Vince's house kind of shows, like, they like him. And I laugh at the fact that they had NXT, Big Andy wins, everybody wanted ZZ to win, and the Velveteen Dream is the one that's, like, kind of laughing at all of that.
Yeah, well, he was, what, 19 when that show was on?
Wow. It's this funny thing about the people who came. I remember we were watching that show, and it just seemed like it was almost like out of sight. Like, it happened, and then people stopped talking about it. Like, it was like out of sight, out of mind.
I had kind of forgotten since they had kind of called back with it in the Daniel Bryan feud. I'd kind of forgotten about the original NXT.
Oh, not even NXT. I mean, Tough Enough. Stone Cold with Paige, Jericho, and who was the third? Was it Lita or Billy Gunn was like the third? No, it was like they had three judges and three trainers. Because like Booker T, Billy Gunn, and Lita. And then it was like Paige, Jericho, and somebody else.
Yeah, because they had different sets each. Because it was only two seasons, if I'm not mistaken.
It was one.
Oh, was it one?
Yeah, and like, because I remember, like, Stone Cold was the host. I know Triple H showed up one week. The Rock showed up and actually, you know, did some bumps and cut the promo. Like, they went all out with that damn show, and it didn't make a difference. Like, Big Andy came out. They like, this guy won. Like, this bland old tall guy won. Gets clowned his first night when he shows up on Raw, and you never see him again. Like, that was it.
Yep, Patrick Clark definitely won that one.
Mm-hmm. Him and Mandy Rose.
Oh, I forgot that she was on there too.
Yeah, I mean, but you can kind of, you can see her and you kind of know, like, if they could make a woman in a lab, that would be like a WWE woman. It would kind of look like Mandy Rose. Like, I've talked enough about Mandy Rose that you know how I feel about Mandy Rose, but it's just a lot of, like, WWE has an abundance of beautiful women, and she kind of stands out even among them.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the other thing that goes back to, they definitely have not hurt in the looks department while also increasing the amount of athleticism in the women's division.
Yeah, like, it's just a murderous row. And I guess we can wrap it up with, speaking of murderous row, with Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, where I shouldn't like them because they are aggravating. Like, their voice, their gimmick, like, one that those voices just, I thought Lay Cool was annoying, but good lord, they just come out and they're screeching like a bunch of kangaroo harpies, and they just go on and on and on, and just talk and talk and talk and talk, and I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't understand why Dave Meltzer got into that hole that he did. I'm like, they have been super annoying. I can't understand that. What, I know that I didn't see that much of their NXT run because I kind of skipped out on a couple of months. But I can't imagine them having much different of an act. They were probably just,
it was the same thing. The only thing missing was they got implants once they went to the main roster, or right before they went to the main roster. And I talked to Jerry about it. It wasn't, the problem is, was a two-part problem. But the main thing is, you could criticize women. One, talking about looks is always kind of like a tricky slope, because especially somebody that knows all the stuff they have to deal with to, like, look at that shape. And two, don't mention women's weight. That's the no-no. Like, you don't do not do that. Like, that's the thing. And that was the big problem. Like, you know, basically saying, like, you know, they stood out more in NXT. You could, if you got to start a sentence with, you know, maybe I shouldn't be talking about this, I shouldn't say it, it's best to just stop right there. But he's like, you know, they stood out more in NXT, and, you know, she looked better when she was in NXT. And he still, like, he was already digging, so he could have stopped then. And that day is like, you know, she was smaller. And it's like, Peyton Royce ain't fat. Like, I don't know what he's looking like, you know. And, like, you look at Peyton Royce, like, she's walking around with abs. The only thing that changed was she got some upgrades up top. So what? And Peyton Royce is like, what, you want me to starve myself? Like, it's comments like this while women have all these body issues. And keep in mind, this is the same thing we heard about. Alexa Bliss had, you know, eating disorder issues. Natalya came out, had eating disorder. Like, you've had women on that show that's had issues with that, with body thing. Yeah, like, just leave that alone. Like, all the people that say that, like, and then the apology was just, I'm glad the party was half-ass too. Like, yeah, you're hot. It's a shame that you got to deal with this unnatural body stuff. You do the best you can to meet those standards. Like, I know he didn't mean it. It just came off like,
yeah,
just quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, and that was kind of the funny thing about the situation is that you could tell that he was pausing and thinking about it every time that he dug himself in deeper into that hole. And he still went for it, which was just, like, head-slappingly bad. And it also did crack me up that when Peyton Royce came on, I felt like Corey Graves was the message sender this evening to one Dave Meltzer, and talking about how beautiful Peyton Royce was.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And I laughed when she won the match with her fisherman suplex, and then, like, did, like, the nan-nan and nan-nan, stuck her tongue out at Naomi like she's 9. And then wrote, I'm like, and that's the thing, like, they do endearing stuff like that where you can't help but like them, but the rest of the time they're just so unlikable. But, yeah. And it just telling the whole thing about, because then a lot of people kind of jumped in, got on Dave Meltzer just because not they didn't care about Peyton Royce. They just didn't like Dave Meltzer anyway. Oh. Somehow it became a Tyler Breeze thing, like how dare Tyler Breeze stand up. He never did anything. And I'm like, he has commercials. He has a job. He's getting paid. Nobody gets on CCH Pounder for not being a movie star. She just gets roles and work. Like, why is there a wrestler everybody has to be the champ? Like, he's living a comfortable life. He's getting paid. Like, I see him in Snickers commercials. What's the rooms to go or everything like that? Like,
and
he...
Even though he's just getting his ass kicked, the guy's been on TV ever since Fandango got injured.
Yeah. Like, he's doing just all the people to worry about. Like, he's... Where's Zack Ryder at? Worry about him. Like, Tyler Breeze is doing just fine. And I guess we can wrap it up. The thing I find funny about this is the defense. The only reason it was like a defense is because people like Dave Meltzer, which is fine. I like Dave Meltzer a lot, too. But wrong is still wrong. Because if it was somebody else that said that, we wouldn't be having this debate. I remember Johnny Fairplay basically saying something like, you know, Asuka's not, you can't take her seriously because she's not in shape. Like, you can't be fat and be like a WWE, like, diva. And people looking at him like he's a goddamn moron because it's like, do you see what Asuka looks like? Talking about her body type? Like, had he said that about Peyton Royce, this wouldn't have been no controversy. People just would have called him a jackass and kept him moving.
I don't even get that one either, though.
Like body types, it's not just Vince McMahon that's like had these body types when it comes to wrestlers and stereotypes. And women, it's still a variety because, you know, somebody like Ruby Riott would have never been the position she was like 7-8 years ago. But it's not like they have people that specialize in the shot put on Raw or SmackDown either. Like, you still gotta look a certain, you still have to look a certain way. And
yeah,
this depression you have to deal with and everything like that. Like, I'm definitely not on WWE side because a lot of that is on them forcing these women, like, you gotta look body beautiful 365 days a year. But at the same time, let these women, like, it's this whole thing now where people get on women for, like, you know, they got on Peyton Royce and Charlotte and Alexa Bliss for getting breast implants. Mind your business. That's, like, it's not preventing they can't do a drop kick anymore because they went from a C-cup to a double D-cup? Like, why do you care? Like, it's their body. If they weren't forced into it, it's their body, it's their choice. It's not affecting their wrestling. So let it be. Although I will say this, for Charlotte, I will say is the camera is definitely making you notice that she looks different.
Yeah, that was kind of hard to miss.
I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to be like that dirty old man, like talk about that. But the way I remember her coming out of SummerSlam, I'm like, who is, like, is this Barstool Sports behind this camera? Like, why are they filming Charlotte like this? Like, she's a porn. Like, it's just like,
she got the full Mandy Rose treatment.
Yes. And she's not Mandy Rose. And I'm just sitting here and I'm like, this is not by accident. And because it kept pop, because I'm not that type where I notice it, but I'm there to watch the match for the match.
Right.
But they kept making me notice it.
Yeah, there were a couple of times, like, even, I guess it was the pay-per-view, because they were in street clothes in their pull-apart brawl tonight. So, yeah, there were a couple times I'm like, oh my gosh, just the way she was holding herself, too, I'm like, sorry, can't miss them, they're right there.
So I made the joke saying she didn't have to worry about Space Mountain because she brought him with her. And I was thinking that. I always say that out loud, but I was thinking that. I was like, I felt bad for making that joke. But it's like, film her like an athlete. Like, it's just a weird thing where, you know, it's just tough where this whole diva women thing, like, can women be desirable and still be respected? You don't want to body shame women. Like, treating like sex objects, but at the same time, like, Carmella made a good point saying, like, yeah, like, calling me a diva is not a slur. Like, yes, I'm beautiful. I look like this. I have the personality like this. And guess what? I still got the title, bitch. So kiss my ass. And it's kind of like they try to hold this whole diva versus wrestler thing. And it's like, it's just a funny dynamic where you got this one side, like, I just want to be respected as a wrestler and I'm here to wrestle and it's not eye candy. But then you got the other women, like, I can wrestle and still look good. It should be like one or the other.
Yeah, and I think that over time, because it's already, at least, thank God, advanced past constant catfighting. Hey, what's this feud about? I don't know. They're catfighting.
Fighting over shampoo.
Fighting over shampoo.
He stole my man. Like, although that would be funny if they start fighting over men. But that would have to, you know, lead to, like, men and women, like, integrating on the show and not be segregated like this is, like, the 1950s.
Well, that was something that, again, not a topic that needs to be talked about. But ever since the mixed match challenge, they have been all over the mixed match format on pretty much any show at this point. So we already got one for Hell in a Cell now. We had one for SummerSlam that got repeated on SmackDown. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a husband and wife, or like boyfriend and girlfriend type, like manager and, you know, managee type thing. Although, I will give Brie Bella credit, and we can wrap up with that. She didn't waste time. Like, Miz was talking all that trash about Daniel Bryan, and Maryse said a thing. Brie Bella just came out there in skinny jeans and heels and just square punched Miz straight in the face. Like, she didn't wave her fingers. She didn't talk trash. She just jabbed the shit out of him. Like, people forget, like, Brie Bella is a spark plug. Like, she always come off like that, the crazy Bella. Like, do not mess with her man or she will beat the shit out you.
Well, you know, I haven't watched either Total Divas or Total Bellas that much. But they have certainly intimated the fact that Brie Mode is out of the fact that Brie tended to go a little crazy.
Yes.
And off the rails. And that she's lost it in her motherhood stage. So, yeah, maybe just because she's been off TV for so long. And, yeah, I think that if the Bellas come back, I am, again, I think we talked about it kind of at the beginning of the show, them eventually having some problem with Ronda Rousey, even if it's a respectable one.
Yeah, I can see Nikki doing it. It's funny where when they first started, they were like, they were just the Bella twins, and you can really tell the difference. And like now, it's like they're twins, but they seem like completely different people. And not just like look wise, like personality wise, like, you know, Nikki's more like the glamorous, I'm the champ type, you know, like she's like the Kim Kardashian of the two of them. Like,
yeah.
I carry myself a certain way. And Brie is like, you know, I'm cool and chill. If you mess with me or mess with my man, I'm going to kill you. Because I'm batshit crazy if you push me that way. And I don't know if because she's smaller or what it is, but it's just something about, I don't know, it's just something like, don't you push Bree's buttons and Bree will try to murder you. So,
yeah,
and she... I always liked that about her. Like, Nikki's always been like the more standoffish type one. I don't know, maybe that's John Cena's fault.
I would definitely say that they have both brought on characteristics of their significant others while still being themselves. And yeah, I guess it's been a while now too. That's the funny thing, is that everyone started, well, I would have to say it started with the enhancement jokes with Nikki, and I'm not exactly sure when that was, but that was probably 2015 or even before then. But they've certainly established their own personalities, and Lord help us, I hope they don't ever, ever, ever pull the twin magic trick again. I know they've done it once in the...
when they had the stuff Raw.
Yeah.
Oh, I laughed my ass off at that, because I'm like, it was definitely, like, you had to do that, because like, they don't look the same anymore. But they actually tried that, and it was like, they actually put like socks in the bra to kind of fake it out. Like, this is just so damn ridiculous, which is the soul. And there's something about the Bellas where it's funny, where I guess we can wrap up with the Bellas. Internet wrestling fans cannot stand them. Regular fans love the Bella. Like, they don't. Oh. The Bellas are popular. Like, they.
Yeah.
Not just the wrestling. Like, people watch Total Divas. People watch Total Bellas. Like, it's people who don't watch wrestling who know what the Bella Twins. And all you gotta do is go to a WrestleMania. It's like, you see grown ass men with Brimo shirts. Like, you see women dressed up like Nikki Bella. Like, the last couple of WrestleManias, I noticed that, like, in strength. So,
yep.
Just because you don't like them, it's like, why is Nikki Bella doing that? Bitch, because she's popular. Like, people like her. And she can wrestle. And, like, she can wrestle. Like, she ain't gonna as make... good as Charlotte, but she can hang with Charlotte. Like, yeah. She can hang with these divas now and not embarrass herself. And I know it's just weird to see Nikki Bella wrestle like a strong style, like a damn power lifter. I'm like, well, she dates John Cena and she does squats and she puts some weight on. So, yeah, she can bully.
She can do like, a strong style. From a physical
standpoint, she can like go toe to toe with Ronda Rousey, just like not wrestling wise, but size wise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Nikki's one of the few people that, Ronda's not that big, but I guess I always think about Nia Jax and even Charlotte, if she ends up getting in a feud with her at some point. Charlotte is definitely a big woman and not in a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah, you forget, like, Charlotte, I think they had her weigh, like, ESPN the magazine. I don't know if it's like 160 or 170. And then you like, yeah, she's like 5'10". And she's not a skinny 5'10" either. Mm-hmm. Like, she's an athlete that's built like an athlete. And you just forget, like, Charlotte kind of towers over most of the women there. Because most of the women, like, between 5'1 and 5'5". And yeah. Some are, like, some are slender, like Sasha Banks and everything. Some are, like, Mandy Rose and Bayley. And then you got some, like, Ember Moon and Asuka. But they all like all, most of them like around the same size. But then you got like you know Nikki Bella stands out,
right? Yeah,
Charlotte stands out, and Nia Jax definitely stands out. Like Ronda's not big, but she's not small. But Ronda thing is she's just so damn strong. Like it's insane how I'm surprised she hasn't really hurt somebody with them damn judo throws. Because I keep thinking like she's gonna pull somebody's arm out by accident. And you have like an arm just dangling on the mat, and they gonna somebody go the ref's gonna put the X sign up and get a dustpan.
Broken arm on aisle two. Broken arm on aisle two.
Yeah, but
okie dokie. Well, we can wrap it up there. Finally, I think. So, at DeFrango 11 at Shaw Farm D. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And I will let Shahid send us out.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. And shout out for the New Day for being World Tag Champions for the fifth time and beating them badass, bully ass Bludgeon Brothers. We are out.
Five times.